Now, what you may not think about on a regular basis is your pension, especially if you have a private scheme, and many people actually haven't started a private pension. That's a whole other conversation. But do you monitor its progress? Do you see what assets your pension is allocated in, how it's performing? You might not realise there are 70,000 defined contribution pension plans in this country, but that number, by the end of the year, could be only 200. How does that affect you? John Lowe is one of the money doctors. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Will. And Happy New Year to you.
Indeed, and many happy returns. What's happening?
There's a new European directive, and it's called the Institute for Occupational Retirement Provisions. I think this is actually a little bit of scaremongering by Charlie Wesson, the Independent, because essentially, you're quite right, 70,000 of these kind of defined contribution schemes. Now, the difference between defined contribution, defined benefit is like, you know, the public sector, or as my pension is, before I left the bank, a bank pension, where it didn't matter what happened to the performance of the fund, you were guaranteed a certain percentage, 66% or 50% in the public sector case. Defined contribution, you live and die on the performance of your own fund. So these 70,000 are being herded into 200 through this new kind of instruction from the EU. And essentially, what it is, it's a consolidation of these defined contribution schemes for better supervision, for better governance standards. And effectively, the argument has been made that it may, you know, there are 8 master trusts. 3 of those 8 master trusts are actually organized and run by Irish Life, who would be the biggest insurance company in Ireland. Now, I'm an agent for Irish Life, but I'm an agent for all of the insurance companies, including Zurich, Aviva, New Ireland, Royal London, all of these insurance companies. So I don't really actually have a bias. It doesn't really affect the man in the street.
Do you mind just to demonstrate that, if we maybe have a glossary of some of those terms? So when you say a master trust, what's meant by that?
Okay, the master trust is like Irish Life. It has 3 of the 8 master trusts, and this is where all employers who are starting up a pension scheme, and don't forget that they still have to bring in this auto enrollment lark in the next couple of years, but employers are going to be forced to set up pension schemes, and if they have a pension scheme, they'll have to enroll it into one of these master trusts, whereas before they just had a defined, there are far too many defined contribution schemes in Ireland, you know, altogether.
Okay, and the role of the trust is to make sure there's good governance, is it?
Absolutely, and to also boost supervision. So that's effectively is what Irish Life do anyway, but they just now are going to have a lot more defined schemes, kind of defined contribution schemes coming into their into their power. So, but the argument has been made, Will, that there could be a huge differential in costs between one master trust and the other, and that's what I think is a scaremongering. I personally don't think it's going to have that much effect. In fact, I think if anything, it's going to be better, because you'll be assured that your scheme is absolutely squeaky clean and regulated and compliant. And that's really, at the end of the day, is what you want. But, I mean, I've been harping, as you know, for the last number of years about the fact that within 20 years there won't be any such thing as a state pension. And we really need to get, you know, on with it and start facing the fact that we're an aging population. We'll have 3 times the numbers in 20, 30 years' time of retiring people. And, you know, less than 30% of the workforce to support them. So it's just a recipe for it. It's a time bomb. And if we don't do something about it, you know, it's going to be a catastrophe for a lot of those people who are now in their 20s, 30s and 40s. In 20 years, 30 years' time, there won't be any such thing as a state pension.
I've looked at the research, John, and there are a number of reasons why people are reluctant. One of them is that they have to sacrifice cash now in order to get a return later. But another that often comes up is the complexity of it. And we've even had a sample of that now with terminology. So to understand, what is the difference between some of these? Never mind even the 70,000 schemes.
When you start talking pensions and all.
Yeah, but John, what would be the differences? Never mind even the 70,000 different schemes. What would be the difference between the 200 or so plans they'll be condensed into?
there'll be no difference to the average punter because you'll still have a pension. You will be providing for every 100 euros that you, if you're on the 40% tax rate, for every 100 of euros that you're putting into your pension, you will get 40 euros back from the government. So that's the first thing. You're up nearly 40% before you start. The second thing is there's thresholds. So if you're 40 years of age, you can put 25% of your net relevant earnings. That's a quarter of your annual salary into that pension. Now, a lot of people, as you quite rightly said, they can't afford it because, you know, when you've done your budget and you've got three kids who are screaming for food and you know, education costs, you just can't provide that 25% if you're in your 40s to put into your pension for your later years. And it's a difficult choice. So it's really a question of making sure, first of all, that if you have any surplus, that you can put something into that pension. The second thing that I really want to stress as well is, apart from getting your 40% back from the government, you've also got to make sure that this is a defined contribution scheme, and therefore it's up to you to make sure that the money that you're putting into a pension is going somewhere and it's doing something. So as you said at the start, you've got to every year review your pension, you've got to review the cost, you've got to review performance, all of that thing every year, and sit down with somebody and talk about it, not just, you know, get a piece of paper, file it away.
Well, in times gone by, maybe 20 years ago, the advice was, well, go for some of the staples, the Unilevers, the car companies and so on. But the stocks that have performed best in the last 20 years have been tech stocks. So clearly not all of these plans would be made equally. Some would be more heavily weighted to certain categories of asset than others. How do you get that sort of information?
Very easy, actually, because, again, you know, it's not gone to individualizing stock selection, Will. It's more, you know, managed funds. That's what most of the pensions now are involved. Let me just give you, ESMA is a European Securities Marketing Authority, ESMA, and they categorize every single stock share and company in the world into seven categories of risk. So 1 to 7, 1 being cash, 2 being government bonds and corporate bonds. Go up the other end. Number 7 is Asian emerging markets. Number 6, there's your tech stocks, your energy stocks, your BRIC countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China. So the higher the number, the more the risk. But that's the greater growth. I mean, I had a 78-year-old guy less than a year ago. He came in and put money into a managed fund, and he was up at 5-6. And well, the 7 doesn't go for most of the insurance companies because they only deal with 2 to 6 because 1 and 7 they deem to be too extreme. So you've only got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But there's some of those managed funds, for instance, there's one that Irish Life actually have, and it's not a plug for them, but it's called Dynamic Shares to Cash. That if you're in 4, 5, and 6. And you wake up one morning and there's a global meltdown. Well, there's a feature in it called Dynamic Shares to Cash, which takes your money out of 4, 5, and 6 and puts it automatically into number 2. So there's a relative safety. So your losses are minimized. But, Will, can I just say, over the last 30 years, from 1991 to 2020, the average growth in the stock market has been 10.72%. And that really, so there's no point if you have a pension and you have this lifestyle kind of box to tick and you say, I want to go for a lifestyle strategy. And the lifestyle strategy is the older you get, the more cautious you become. But that means that you're not going to get any growth. So if you set up a pension and you put your money into cash, you can forget about any growth. In fact, you'll be charged
money. Especially
money.
In this era of inflation, yes, it'll end up wilting away, unfortunately.
Absolutely. So the point is, though, that you have to go for a little bit of growth if you're going into... So, but you have to monitor it, and you don't just slip that piece of paper away and stick it in the drawer. You talk with your advisor and you say, what's happening within the marketplace? What's happening with my particular fund? Is outside of IORP, outside of Master Trust and all these other things, because this is your pension.
John, grateful for your time. That big yellow book is out again in the 2022 edition anyway, for anybody who wants advice on pensions and indeed many other financial questions. Thank you for taking our call.
Thank you very much indeed, Will. Thank you.